to greet each one also in Christ's worthy name. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. Really appreciated that song and the service thus far. And grateful this morning that we can come to this point in life where there are more young people stepping out of the power of darkness into the power of light and allowing the Spirit of God to lead them. So we think of communion. We think of the blood of Christ. We think of the power of God. We think of a lot of things that evolve around that. And this morning I would like to look at some things in John chapter 14. Here in this chapter, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I am the way. He is the beginning and he is the ending of all things in life. He is our guide. He is our God. His word is our power. Just have a few things I want to look at here. I am the way. What is the way? There's only one way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. That way is through death and suffering with him on Calvary. And as we partake of these emblems here this morning, that reminds us that Jesus died. He died a cruel death. He died not because he sinned, but because we did. And he died because we need a Savior. And there's no other way. And there is no other way to get to heaven but through death. Death to our own nature, death to our own desires, death to our own goals in life. Death is not something that we enjoy. And I was ordained, or before I was ordained, that was one of the biggest problems that I had to face, was conducting a funeral service. I didn't think I could do it. And I'm not sure how many I have had a part in. And a couple was the total one to have the funeral. They're hard. They're difficult times in life. Because from here on, that person is not going to be in our life anymore. Is left this world. But yet there are memories and there are things that we contemplate and things that we remember about those people that help us in our walk with God many times. The communion service is one way to connect with the source of life. But it's not the only way. But there's one way. As we partake of these emblems, and as we think about Jesus dying on Calvary for my life, for my sins, he was where I should be. But for God's love, I would be there. Studying the scriptures is another source of connecting with Jesus, with life, the source of life. And we need to do that constantly. Not just as a ritual, not just because it's a habit, but because we're fighting a battle. And if we don't continue to be immersed in the power of God, we're going to lose. Satan is more powerful than we are. We will not make it through life unless we have our minds in the Word of God. Another one is like we're doing this morning. You all have your ears open. You're listening. We listen to TJ. We listen to what Ralph had to say. We listen to the vows that these young men took this morning. And we rejoice with the fact that they are starting their walk with God. Or are we listening to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is here to guide us in every little detail of life, every step of the way. He is here to help us to take another step that is in truth and holiness and not according to our own lusts and desires. And so listening to others, being taught by others, none of us would be where we are if we hadn't been taught. We've been taught by many, many people. Some of us more than others, probably. But we've been taught to walk in truth. Here in John 14, Jesus began to explain the way. He only began. It's a long discourse, and it's a long process of him teaching us the way. Look at verse 2. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Those two words, I go. I want to look at that a little bit this morning. I go to prepare a place for you. I am not staying in this world all my life. I mean forever, all eternity. I am going to prepare a place so that you have a safe place to abide. Verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. He's not only going, but he's coming again. And his coming again is going to be the end of all of world, all of life, all of death will end. No, it won't end. Because death is eternal, just like life is eternal. People continue to die throughout all eternity. And I don't understand that. And I don't think any of us can just fathom that idea of death being a eternal process, such as, and this, and just like life is an eternal process. In verse 4, he says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And so we have been told, the disciples had been told before this point in life. This was just the last days of Jesus' life. And he had been teaching them for 3.5 years about the way and about how to take these steps and how to continue on in the way with God. And we have been taught all our lives the way. In verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, through Jesus. I am the way. I want to think of that, the I am, a little bit here. I am the way to life. I am the way to die. Not to death, but I am the way to die. I know the way. I have gone through the way. Even though he was still there, he understood it. He knew it. There's only one way to truth. There's only one way that we can live and have eternal life blooming out before us, and that is the way of truth. Now let's drop down to verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth them. Jesus is beginning now to explain the relationship, I believe, between God and the Father, and between us and them. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. When you put your hand into something, it's in there. But you can also have something in your hand, and it's in you. I don't know if that's a decent explanation of the Father and the Son being in each other, but we can't hardly realize in our minds, at least I can't, how the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father, and they're both eternal, and they're both exactly doing exactly the same thing, saying the same thing, and moving on in the same way. They have the same goals, they have the same desires, the same ambitions, they have the same desires for our lives. We cannot separate them. Verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you can't understand that, just look at what I did. All of the miracles that he did, all of the things that he taught. He says, look at that and believe me because of what I did. If you can't fathom, if you can't get that, your mind wrapped around that thought of the Father and me being one, do it that way. We'll still come out the same place because Jesus is Jesus. He was the Savior of the world. In verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. If Jesus would have stayed here, he would have done his great works. He would have been available to do those things, but only in one place at a time. He couldn't be here and halfway around the world. He couldn't be here and in the service where Mike normally is at this morning. But the Holy Spirit can be here and there and all over at the same time. Again, try to really wrap your mind around it. It is a wonderful fact about our God. We need to believe that he is Christ, and he is the way. Now let's go to verse 15. And he's starting to explain about the Holy Spirit. He's talked about the Father and him being one, but now he's starting to explain about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit coming into the world, being sent into the world by the Father, and it is another new, it's maybe newer thought in their lives, but he is here to indwell us and to guide us into knowing what this book says. We can't understand it if we don't have the Holy Spirit to interpret it for us. We can understand some things, but to understand new birth, to understand walking with God, I don't believe we can. And so he starts out here in verse 15 with a little tiny word, if. Now, a lot of times we use that word, and we don't even think about it. If such and such, then such and such. If ye love me, keep my commandments. The song we sung this morning is a beautiful song. I love that song. And it says that Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us. And that's a theme in churches. You'll see it on the signs. Jesus loves you. We'll see it and read it here and there. And that is a great fact. Jesus does love us. But let's look at this. If ye love me, keep my commandments. It is a fact that Jesus loves us. But how about our love for Jesus? How do we express our love for him? It is by keeping his commandments. It's by keeping the things that he tells us to do. It is by being giving him our lives. So if we don't keep his commandments, or if we don't love him, the outcome is going to be totally different. And it's an outcome that we don't want. Let's go over to verse 23 for a little bit. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will come unto him and make our abode with him. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a blessing. If we love him and keep his words, then the Father's going to come and dwell with us. What a joy that we have in God being part of our lives. It is not because Jesus loves us, but it is if we love him that he will send the Holy Spirit into our lives. God loves everyone, but not everyone has the Holy Spirit. Not everyone is being taught by the Holy Spirit. Verse 24, if ye love me not, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. If we don't love God, we're not going to do what he says to do. Just like a child. You do what your parents ask you to do or tell you to do, or maybe sometimes demand that you do, because you love them. And you know, and you love them because you know that they love you. And that's the way it is between us and God. Now let's go back to verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. Carter and Brent, God has sent a comforter to abide in your heart. And he wants to lead you and guide you throughout life in a ways of holiness, and in a ways that bring joy and peace into your lives. And so if you don't have that, you know there's something wrong. You don't have that joy and peace. You know that maybe the Holy Spirit has just backed off, and because of some sin that's in your life. Now, we need to keep the commandments of God. And if we don't keep them or obey them, the word, or if we don't keep and obey the word, it is because we don't love Jesus. We have lost that love. Something has blurred our vision, and we lose contact with God. Now I'd like to look at the thought of abiding in verse 4 of chapter 15. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You know, it's not difficult to know. When you see a limb broke off the apple tree, there may be 100 apples on that limb. They may look beautiful, but there's a windstorm and it broke off. We know what's going to happen to those apples. They may look good for a day or two, but pretty soon you'll start looking at them and they're starting to shrivel. They don't look very good anymore. They don't look very appetizing, but the next day they look worse, and the next day they look worse, and they're getting smaller instead of larger, and they're getting changing color, but it's not a bright, shiny red. It's kind of a brown. I'm afraid that's the way too many people who call themselves Christians are. We get broke off from Jesus Christ being the vine and us the branches. And that's what he's teaching here. We get broke off and wonder, what's wrong in my life? Why don't I have the ambition to study the Bible? Why don't I have the volition to reach out to someone else? Why don't I care? What's going on? But we've broken ourselves off from the vine, off from the source of nutrients in our lives. How important is it that we abide in Jesus? How important, I ask that as a question for us to contemplate and think about, how important is it that we abide in Jesus? We cannot live unless we do. Like that apple, that limb that broke off the apple tree. It's the leaves are going to fall off from that limb. And it's going to get thrown in the burn pile. And that's going to be the end of it. The only problem is, with us, it's not the end when we're thrown in the burn pile, because we have no end. Eternity is before us. And so we continue on in that burning in that burn pile for all eternity. If we don't abide in him, we will be cast out. There's no question about it. There's no, well, maybe we will and maybe we won't. There are some who say that hell is just what you have to face here on this earth. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. There's no end to life or death. Let's look at verses 10 and 11 here in chapter 15. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. When we abide in the house, we're in the house. It doesn't affect us if it's pouring down rain or hailing outside, because we're in a house where there's safety. And if we abide in Jesus, there is safety from the darts and powers of Satan. Abiding in him. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. But he's not a selfish person. Jesus was not a selfish person. And he turned right around and he completed that by saying that your joy may be full. He wants us to be a happy people. He wants to see a smile on our faces. He wants us to have a warm handshake. He wants us to know the love of God. Now let's go to 12. And I don't think I'm going to read all of 12 to 17. That's what I wanted to look at here. But this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved us enough to give his life, to die on that cross so that we can have life. And now he says, I want you to respond to everybody else just like that. He's given us the example. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. We just can't get away from doing. We can't get away from working. But we don't work and we don't do to gain our salvation. We do it because of our salvation, and it is a blessing to help others. And it brings joy and peace in our lives. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I call you friends. We are friends in Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Maybe I will end up reading all of these. Henceforth, I call you not servant. Let's see. I want 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it. Fruit bearing. I have chosen you. We sometimes say, well, I decided to be a Christian. But no, we really couldn't decide that unless God drew us, unless God planted the seed in our hearts. You know, if you want to have carrots in the garden and you have that packet that has 200 carrot seeds in the bottom of it, and you hang on to that, you can even stick it in your pocket. You can do whatever you want to with it, but if you don't plant it, you're not going to get carrots. It just works that way. And if we don't do what God calls us to do, we're not going to have a harvest. We're not going to be there when Jesus comes again to gather his children home to be with him. These things I command you, that you love one another. Love is such a big thing. It is such a large source of the Christian's life. There's a lot of hate in the world. Sometimes I glance over a list of, I don't know what they are, movies or something that I'll see. And almost all of them are hate. And then we wonder, why are youth, why are adults are so hateful? Why are there so many murders? Why are there so much crime in our country? They're being taught crime. It's what brings satisfaction to the unregenerate heart. But a child of God is looking for something different. He's looking for something new, something fresh, something encouraging, something strengthening. And that is found right here in the Word of God. Shall we kneel for prayer?